Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
But praise the Lord. Father, thank you for this day and everything that's in it. Father, thank you for every person that will either see this live or hear it later. And Father, I thank you that you are preparing your people. You're preparing the remnant, preparing the bride for those things that are to come. That you're raising us up to a higher level and you're teaching us how. And I'm seeing it. Seeing in the Spirit that God is connecting with his people. I see connections happening in these days, during this season. I see connections happening between the father and his child, his son or daughter, by the Holy Spirit. I see a connection happening in your spirit. It's almost like that hunger happens and then a connection happens in the spirit. It's a big deal because through that connection, through that divine grace, God will lift us up to be able to be made ready for those things that are coming. That we will be the ones with the answer before the questions get asked. Hallelujah. Bear with me a second. I need to take a little sip. And so the Father's preparing us because people are going to become very hungry and thirsty. People who never had questions about God before are starting to have questions. And just this week, we had divine encounters with people. One young man got born again. He didn't know anything about being born again, doesn't know anything about God, and yet God just created a divine connection, and he prayed to be born again. Lori ministered to two young women who really did not know God, but there's a hunger there. And the reason there's a hunger is there's a shaking going on in the earth, and people are concerned. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to look at it or how to prepare for it. They don't know what's coming. And Lori just ministered to them by the flow of the Spirit. It was easy. They were so hungry. And then while she's talking to them, the Lord is whispering to her by the Holy Spirit what CD to give them, what message to give them. And so you're going to see more and more and more hungry and thirsty people, people that are scared. And I'll be very honest with you, there are things coming, and I don't have the full understanding of it. Nor do I pretend to, but I felt like the Lord said to me that a lot of people, people who do not know God, there will be many people who lose hope, and they won't know how to respond because they'll feel like, it's just never going to get any better. It will not look good for a while, and we need to try to help them because he said some people will attempt suicide because it will be so... it will feel hopeless to them. And so we need to offer them a kindness and a hope. We don't need to offer them religion. We need to offer them the love of the Father and some comfort. And if they need food, we need to offer them what they need, because people are going to have a lot of questions during this day. And God is preparing you. And you may be like me. I've never felt like I was much of an evangelist. That's not my strongest gifting. But I'll tell you what, in this day, I feel like we will all do the work of a soul winner, and it will be easy. It won't be anything we try to make happen. It will be flowing. It will just flow by the grace of God, because there will be a people hungry, thirsty, and ready. I'm seeing, as I pray a lot these days, and I hope you do too, but I'm seeing things crumbling, structures crumbling. Is what it looks like when I see in the spirit things crumbling. And what I'm seeing is that it has to do with people building things, man-made structures that people have placed their hope in. Some people have placed their hope in getting a college degree or a certain type of business or the bank or, whatever, and I'm seeing that some of these things they've placed their hope in is going to crumble, because God wants to teach them how to place their hope in Him alone. And so for those that are able to do that, they will have a much easier time. For those of us that are able to just put our hope in God, you know, you remember what David said, "Why so downcast, oh my soul?" He was talking to his soul. It's okay to tell your soul how to feel. That's what he was doing. "Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God." And he was telling his soul, don't get down over this. There are circumstances. Soul, don't be downcast, oh my soul. What did Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it. Don't allow it. And so it is okay to tell your emotions, nope, God's got it. Everything's going to be okay. I belong to God. I'm going to live in Him, and He's going to teach me. And if I don't know what to do, He will show me what to do. And so God is preparing your hearts. He is going to make a way, He said, where there is no way. There's someone I'm talking to right now where you've been facing like a wall, and you're trying to get a breakthrough, and you've pressed in, and you know, you've prayed, but I'm seeing this wall, like this door in your path, and it is such a, I want to say it's like a stronghold that's been hard to break down, but I see that there is a secret way around it. You know, so many times, if we try to make stuff happen the way we think that it should, we are actually working against the plan of God, because sometimes He has a different path, a different way, a way that we might not have seen. And so sometimes when you're facing a closed door or a brick wall or a wall that is up in your path, a barricade, quite often the thing to do is not try to push through, but just quiet your soul. Enter the place of rest and spend some time in prayer. Just sit, go take a time out, okay? And sit in your prayer chair and begin to spend time with God in prayer, and just pray. And does it take a while? Sometimes it doesn't take very long. But spend time with God until you come to a place of peace. And what will happen is you'll get a peace in your soul about which way to go. And it will not always, in fact, usually, it seems like to me, usually it does not match the thing my mind would have thought of, or my maybe I'd have tried to figure something out. Well, if I just had it this way, then it would work. And usually that is the worst way, because then we're trying to force it. We're trying to make it happen. Sometimes people are, without even meaning to, they're even praying to make God, you know, God, make God, you know, get God to do it their way. And God doesn't work in the ways of man. He has a way. His ways are far higher than our ways, and His thoughts are far higher than our thoughts. And so it's really good if you're flexible in God. You know, it's very hard for you if you kick against the pricks, as He said to Paul. It's very hard for you if you're trying to force your own way, make it happen. If you're a strong person, I came from an extraordinarily strong family. My parents were very strong-willed, and so I was raised with this work ethic and study ethic that you can do anything if you put your mind to it. You pressed in and make it happen, you know. And it became like a goal, and they were amazing people, and they did do that. But what that is a work of the flesh. And so when I became a Christian, I brought that work ethic over with me into the kingdom, and I began to say, well, you know, I was told when I was a little girl, little kid, probably second grade, I remember my mom telling me, you know, if you put your mind to something, you can do it. Well, let's say when you get to be a believer, you can do anything in God according to His will, but you cannot make God do what you want to do or do it your way. And so the more pliable we become in God, the more flexible we become in God. You know, if you can make yourself like a, you know, just a rubber hose, where you're just very, very flexible with anything God wants to do, life will become very easy, and you'll see miracles all the time. Now, you can still ask Him for the victory and the success. I do all the time, but what I've learned is I don't ever tell Him how. I just say, Lord, I ask You for this, or if that's not what You're doing, show me if there's something else You're trying to do. But if it's okay with You and You would like to do that with me, then I'm asking for that, but I'm not going to tell Him how. I'm going to ask Him how. And quite often He will have an entire framework that is so far beyond my understanding. God has strategies and wisdom that are so high, so far beyond earthly understanding, that so often when I go in to the Lord asking for a strategy or a way to go, He'll just, pardon the expression, like blow my doors off with His way of doing it, or His strategy. It will almost always be something I never dreamed of. And the reason is, you know, we are in, you know, you could almost draw a parallel between two dimensions and three dimensions, you know. You could almost draw that parallel, because we are stuck in this dimension, and there's so much we cannot see. You know, we cannot see the angelic activity. Most people can't. And the people can, my understanding is, they can only see it part of the time. You know, God shows in part. It's revealed in part. We all see in part. And so there's all kinds of things happening behind the scenes. There's, you know, I remember a time I was fighting a terrific battle. It was a very, very strong battle, and it was not a one-day thing. It was a long-term siege, you know. And I've learned to really stick in there, you know, really pray and keep praying until I see what's really going on here. What is this really? Is this really witchcraft? Is this just an attack of the enemy? Did I open a door? Have I got an open door to the enemy? Or is this just an attack because of some upcoming ministry event, you know? And I try to perceive. And what I do is spend a lot of time listening. So I don't just go, when I want to win a war, I don't just go forging in there with all the formulas. Okay, I'm going to bind and loose. Okay, I'm going to pray in tongues. Okay, I'm going to yell real loud. I don't just do that by formula. I do a lot of listening, a lot of spending time with God, a lot of praying in the Spirit, but it's really a lot of times to get a picture of what is this really. You know, for example, I'll give you, I should finish my other story, but I'll just give you a quick today story, like in the past week. You know, according to the Bible, some attacks against your physical body are actually demon spirits. Some things are natural, like some things can naturally happen to a person's body. If your foot is broken, it's broken, right, and needs a healing or a miracle. But in the scriptures, many times Jesus healed the sick, but really what He did was deliver them from a spirit, and when the spirit left, their body was healed because it was spiritually induced, and so there are spirits of infirmity. So, you know, faith heals. Faith will heal you no matter which way it came from, right? Faith works no matter what, period. You know, in German we say, Punkt, means period. If faith works, whether it's demonically induced or whether it's natural. But for me, it's easier to have faith if I kind of know what I'm dealing with. Now, Edgar, he didn't care. He would say, Lord, you know the problem, in Jesus' name, and boom, you know, his gift of faith would kick in and the person would yield. For me, I found my faith is strong. Probably just because of the way I think, my faith is very strong when I see what's going on. And so I was dealing with a particular attack in the body, and the Lord said, this is 100% spiritual. You see how you might fight that a little differently than if it was just a natural body problem? If you know, if the Lord speaks to you loud and clear, and you know it is 100% spiritual, then you only have one thing you need to do. You need to take that demon out. Right, you need to thrash him by the blood of Jesus. You need to destroy him. You need to pray till he is destroyed, and there's no more problem. That's just how easy it is. And so there are strategies in the Spirit that God will give you. So back to this story I started to tell. It was a long, difficult battle. I believe there was witchcraft involved. And one day, I had been praying into it for a while, and I had been really seeking the Lord for wisdom, and one day it was like it just opened. It was as though I saw an encampment of the enemy, and it didn't look like what you might imagine. It didn't look like anything I imagined, but I actually saw file drawers full of documents that were assignments against believers. These documents were not just against me, they were against ministries, against all kinds of believers. They were different assignments, and I knew that the strategy of the Lord and the Spirit was to take that out and get it destroyed. And you know, we can't do that, can we? But the Lord can. Hallelujah. He is able to destroy. What does it say? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. Isn't it amazing? And I watched. Now, I was praying, but the fact is, as I prayed, I was watching God destroy this entire encampment. He destroyed those documents. He destroyed the assignments. And he destroyed the entire encampment to the degree that I could imagine that if the owners or the devils came back to it, they'd be like, "What happened here? What happened?" And that thrills me. Now, that stuff is real. You know, in the book of Daniel, there's some clear direction about warfare there. Daniel prayed. You know the story, I'm sure. But he prayed, and he didn't seem to be getting any answers. And you know, a lot of people, if 3 weeks goes by, what happens is they'll change their doctrine based on their experience. Don't ever, ever do that. Don't ever base your doctrine on your experience, because there's a lot of reasons that things can happen or not happen. And so some New Testament believers, if 3 weeks went by and they didn't get the answer to their prayer, they would say, "Well, I guess God didn't want it. I guess God said no." Or maybe they might form that doctrine, or they might form the doctrine of, "Well, I guess maybe I'm in sin. Maybe God's mad at me. Maybe God doesn't hear my prayers." You see how poor that is? Well, when the angel comes, he explains to Daniel, and he says, "From the moment you uttered your prayer," from the moment, I mean, I'm talking about from the day you said that prayer, God heard the prayer and sent the answer. But wait, there's been this war in the heavenlies. There's been a war in the realm of the spirit, and I had to battle for, you know, what the equivalent of 3 earth weeks. I don't know what that means in the spirit. But there was this battle going on. Now, Daniel, he did not pray in tongues. But we do. And so the whole idea here is that when we pray in the spirit, listen, I can tell you that when you pray in the spirit, when you pray in an unknown tongue, God gave us that because we don't know enough to know how to pray. And what does it say? When we know not what to pray for as we ought. Because we don't see the war in heaven, generally speaking. Although I confess that there have been a few times when I've been allowed to. Really, I think to help me understand. The first time I ever encountered it, I was in something like a travail, where the spirit of prayer came upon me so strongly that I was actually shaking with an intensity. And there are times in prayer where words will cease, even tongues will slow up, and you'll have more of an intensity. Now with Finney, with Charles Finney, he would enter almost like a groaning type of travail, which is clear from the scriptures, that there's groans that cannot be uttered. There's things that's so deep and profound that go on in your spirit, man, that there's just no words. It's called travail. And travail, if you look it up, it's agony like childbirth. It's birthing something. And what is happening? You're either birthing something from heaven and earth, or you are helping. Now, this is what happened to me. Again, we don't form our doctrine based on experience, but this experience did help me understand some things about the scriptures. I was in this very deep place of groaning and travail, and there was like a shaking. My body was shaking. There was an intensity, and it felt like everything was shaking, to be honest. And what I saw, though, was I saw a group of demons and a group of angels. And they were at war. And I knew somehow that as I prayed, I was lending assistance, if we could say it that way. I was strengthening the angels. I was God. It wasn't me speaking, was it? Or it wasn't me travailing. It was the Holy Spirit empowering those angels to win. And if I had refused it, God would have had to try to raise somebody else up. And I believe some battles are lost because we are not praying properly, or we aren't praying enough, or we give up too soon. We wimp out, or we say, "Well, it's too hard. It's too much work." Some of you are called to prayer, and it's a very high calling. It's a calling of great honor. When you're called to be an intercessor, when you're called to be a prayer warrior, when you're called to be a prophetic intercessor, I'm going to stop. I know most of you probably know what that means, but for those of you who don't, A prophetic intercessor is a person who prays. They always pray with their ears open to God, trying to hear what He wants them to say. So as I pray, I am listening for any sentence that the Lord would give me to proclaim. And what I found is when I proclaim it, it is not me. I'm giving voice to His voice. I'm lending Him my mouth. You know, He sometimes needs a mouthpiece in the earth to speak forth the will of God, the majesty of God, the power of God. Listen, whether you know it or not, we are co-laborers with the angels. We work with them, and our prayers assist them, and our lack of prayer does not help them. Okay, and so it is extremely important that we maintain a position. And if you're a watchman, that's yet another sort of prayer warrior. You know, in the temple, there really were watchmen on the wall, and they were there 24 hours a day, and they actually locked. The doors to the temple got locked at a certain time every evening, but the watchmen had to stay up all night and watch, and if they were caught sleeping, they had a terrible punishment. It was terrible. You did not want to be caught sleeping, because you were supposed to sound the alarm if foes tried to come and get in the temple proper. I mean, that was the holy place, man. You were to guard that place. And so there are some of you that might be watchmen. I can't stress enough to you how important these roles are. This is of huge importance to the kingdom. And I'm just going to be brutally honest. I'm just being more and more honest than ever these days, because I just frankly don't think there's time for us to goof around anymore. So I just feel like that God is calling us into position, but it is an honor. There are times when you'll say, oh, it's so much work. Yeah, there's times when it feels like work, sure. We labor, right? You know, what did Paul say? He continued to travail until Christ was formed in them. You know, that guy, he carried the load of so many men. He preached, he got beat up. He was writing this, you know, writing the letters. And oh, wait. While he wasn't doing anything else, he's laboring and travailing in prayer until Christ is formed in them. You know, he understood the eternal value. This stuff is eternal. You know, sometimes you might be sitting in your prayer chair and you're just, you know, and you might feel like, you know, there's not a lot of energy, or maybe it's not exciting. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you this. You are birthing something of eternal and significant value. And one day in heaven, we will see what we built in the place of prayer. We'll actually see structures that we built, because what you build in the spirit is eternal. It's not just fixing stuff here. Stop focusing on how life is here. This is so temporary, so temporal. This will all pass away and you won't even remember. You won't even remember whether your house got painted. You know, I'm not saying God doesn't care about that. He'll help you with all that stuff. But if our focus is only about the stuff, you know, whether people liked us or didn't like us, said, no, so-and-so said a bad thing about me, so-and-so doesn't like me. You know what? Who cares? You know what? In eternity, you know, God bless them, your concern will not be whether they liked you or whether they were mean to you. Your concern will be, did they make it? You aren't going to want anybody to go to the lake of fire. Trust me on this. You don't want anyone to go there. Not your worst enemy, not the person that was mean to you. You don't want anyone to go there. And we have got to get a different mindset. We have got to get an eternal mindset. We have got to start thinking like God thinks. And stop being like, I'm just going to say it. Forgive me. We've got to stop being like namby-pamby babies that only care about our diaper being changed. We have to start thinking about what God needs, what God desires. Listen, God has paid a terrible price to gain a people from this earth. A terrible price. And it has hurt His heart, and it has hurt His kingdom the way a lot of His church has walked. And I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying we got to do better at this. We've got to get better at having an eternal vision. We've got to get God's heart. And this isn't about me, and it isn't about you. It isn't about how your life goes or how your spouse spoke to you this morning. It isn't about any of that. None of that is going to matter. Trust me. None of that is going to matter. It isn't even going to matter how much was in your bank account or how nicely you dressed or whether you kept your job or not. I'm telling you, that seems important now, and to some degree, yes, it is important, and God does care about those things. But can I just say this to you? Whatsoever a man sows, so will he also reap. And the measure you use, it's measured to you. If you have the capability to do this, if you have the heart to do this, throw yourself into the kingdom. Throw yourself into making it right for God. Not just your life, but doing whatever you can do to cause people to be reconciled to the Father, to cause people to have the right heart towards the Father, to cause people to know truth and to find Him in grace. Throw everything you have into that, because when you throw everything into the kingdom is yours. Whatsoever a man sows, so will he also reap. And the measure you use, it's measured back to you. What do you think happens for the person who says, you know what, God, you know, you've been good to me. You blessed my life. I'm so thankful, but it isn't about that anymore. From this day, I'm going to throw my life at the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to throw everything I've got, you know, all my resources. If I have finances, if I have, you know, whatever I've got, I'm going to throw it into building the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness and all these other things. Yes. Because when you get to the place where you really have a kingdom heart and a kingdom mentality, and somebody's mean to you, you don't even really notice. You don't really care because it's not about you anymore. And your value isn't in how people see you. You got to get over this junk of what people think. Who cares what they think? They're dust. And listen, if they're not saved, they're less than dust. And you got to get them saved. Some people, I'm not talking to everybody. I know you're not all man-pleasers, but there's people I'm talking to. You have a man-pleasing spirit. And for you, all of life is about what everybody thinks of you. What if we were to change that and say, I'm going to throw my life into what everybody thinks of Jesus, what everybody thinks of His kingdom, whatever He thinks of His glory, and Him getting His way, having the desire of His heart instead of me getting the desire of my heart. Do you understand that if you start to think that way, and you can't just do it yourself, you got to go to God and say, change my heart. My heart, it's my motives, they're not as pure as I want, Lord. I've had this conversation with God many times. I've gone to Him many times and said, you got to do something about this, Lord. You got to help me with this. You got to help me convert my heart to be for the kingdom and for God's people. Jesus first, people second, me third. That's the heart. Jesus first, the people second, and me third. That's the heart. And when you can truly do that, when you can get to a place where that's what your life is about, all of heaven is open to you. All of heaven is open to you. And there's pretty much, I'm just going to tell you, you could ask for anything that's in the will of God, meaning not, you would never want to ask for sin, but anything that's in the will of God, and God will move heaven and earth to get it to you because you have sown all that you have. The people who have trouble getting their prayers answered are people who are all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. You know? And so God's trying to get us to be kingdom-minded and kingdom-hearted. And when you do that, He'll take care of all your deal. He'll take care of your house. He will take care of your relationships. He will take care of your finances. Do you know why God lets people give an offering? Because it is your way of saying, you are more important than me, God. It is the only, God doesn't need your money. Don't trust me, God is very rich. He is very, 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 very rich. And if He wasn't, all He'd have to do is create it. I had the amazing honor and privilege of getting to see the treasuries of heaven. I've seen it twice. And I don't have a lot of huge encounters where I'm taken up and all that. A lot of people do. I've just had a few. But two of them have had to do with the treasuries. And I've seen the amazing, amazing treasuries of God. And so God does not need people to give to Him. So why would He even tell us to do that? Because He's saying, am I more important than you? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than this? That's what He's saying. And so in every area, not just finances, but in every area, we should be sowing that He is first. and we are last. And then what he does is he says, oh no, let me put you first. That's how the kingdom works. And if it's not working for you, you might want to check the way your heart is handling kingdom business. You might want to check the motives. Let me just give you a little quiz here. Here's a good way to tell. If you're a person that you feel like, I'm called to do this, and you're obsessed with the idea of, you know, of doing it well and it being a big success, let me ask you, is it because that will make you feel like, now I've done my mission and now I'm I have this approval of God? If you're a person that wants to be used greatly of God in healing the sick, you know, a lot of people want that, and God wants it too. God wants it more than we want it. But one thing I did learn from Edgar is that's not so you can look spiritual or have some kind of spiritual stamp of approval. You know, a lot of people want ministry because then they will feel like, now I'm validated in God, I'm anointed. Well, you know what? The anointing, it has nothing to do with that. Your value in God was already given to you the day you were born again. God loves you, and his love for you will not increase if you do more or accomplish more or raise the dead and heal the sick. He won't love you more, nor will he love you less if you don't. His love for you is a constant. He loves you because you're his. And so if you're searching for value in ministry or business or relationship with somebody, I said a relationship with somebody. Oh, wait, I said if you're searching for finding your own value in somebody loving you, okay, which is what they raise us to believe, right, isn't it? That's what all that glop is about that they teach you. But it is empty, and that's why people get married, and not long thereafter they get divorced, because it didn't fulfill, because it can't. It can't. And so when we approach God, you were made in his image. You were made in his image. But we need to live out of that spirit, that born-again spirit. That's what's made in his image. And if we live in his image, then we will live as Jesus did. How did Jesus live? He said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Even if they kill me for it, essentially. They're going to kill me for it. But that's okay. I didn't come to do my own will. Can you say that? I'm not here to be blessed. I'm not here to do great things and be seen of men. I'm here to do the will of him who sent me. Wait, even if they kill me for it. And the fact is, we were made in his image. Now, you prayerfully and hopefully we won't have to be martyred, but the heart is that the kingdom comes first. And those who truly love Jesus desire for him to have his way, for him to get his bride, and not half a bride. But every person, listen, the war that is on right now in the spirit, all this stuff, all these current events, this is a spiritual war. 100% of it is spiritually incited, and we're only at the beginning. I think we're going to see more and more after that. I really do. I think there's going to be a lot more, and all of it is about the war that's on. And I believe Satan is trying to shorten the time. He's trying to put a stop to people coming into the kingdom, and God is pushing back because God wants all those that are his. He wants those whose hearts will serve him. He wants those. He wants, you know, you've heard of the billion soul harvest. God wants those souls. And so we are to fight with God against the enemy. We are to pray against the enemy. We are to fast. Some of y'all need to fast a little bit. Believe it or not, I actually love fasting. Fasting is a regular part of my life because I found that there's power in it. Do whatever it takes to grow in God and get a hold of the kingdom and be a person. Listen, if you could see Jesus, I mean, if somehow we could just see him openly, not as in a mirror dimly, what if we had that moment where we got to see him? And we got to kneel before his throne. We got to lay down before his throne and kiss his feet. Believe me when I say, you're going to want to have a gift to give him. You're going to want to have something to give him. And what can you give him? You can give him souls. You can give him someone's life that you prayed into the kingdom. Someone that was ready to end it and you were able to give them a word in due season. Someone that was going the wrong way and you were able to just, by the Holy Ghost only, you were able to have just a sentence that would turn them in the right direction. That's what you're going to be able to give him in eternity. That's what you're going to be able to give him, is those kind of things. And that all comes from a life of prayer. It comes from a life of devotion to Jesus Christ. Learning how to be a true disciple. A true disciple is not just a believer. You know, I'm just going to say some things. I love, love, love the faith message, and it is a true message. Okay? It is a true message. The faith message is a true message. But one of the dangers that I see is that sometimes in the church, I've seen people become very self-absorbed, as though it's all about what I can receive. I hate to break it to you, but that's not what it's about. It's about what he can receive. It's about what we can do for him. You get one shot at this. You get one shot at this lifetime. You know, it may seem like it lasts long, but at the end of it, it'll look back, it'll feel like it was a year, like it was so fast. And we get to spend this time. And yes, does some of it feel like labor? Yeah. Does sometimes prayer feel like labor? Yep. But you are building something in eternity. You are building something that will last for eternity, and you're doing it for him as a gift to him who you love. So I just want to encourage you, be a kingdom person. And if your heart isn't yet, I know I'm talking to people who are born again and you love Jesus, but if you can sense as I'm talking that your heart needs to be changed a little, you know, your motives need to be changed a little, you know, just keep going before the Lord and say, you know, I need you to help me with this. I need you to help me change my motives. I want to be pure like Jesus. I want the motives that Jesus had. I don't want to live for me anymore. I want to live for you. But I need your help, you know, to change my heart. Okay? And he will help you. He is amazing that way.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.